All right, welcome to this beautiful Sunday. We begin with the invitatory, again to help us achieve a state of recollection, of focus on God through His Word. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. And this is one of the longer invitatory psalms, but I really love Psalm 24, so we'll say it for the invitatory. The Lord's is the earth and its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is He who set it on the seas, on the waters He made it firm. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia! Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia! He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek Him. Seek the face of the God of Jacob. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia. O gates, lift higher heads, grow higher ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia! O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia! Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Alleluia. Okay, now we begin the office of readings proper, or we would begin the parts of the readings, of the office of readings, that are actually proper prayers and readings. The invitatory isn't really part of the office of readings. On this, the first of days, when God began to make the world, the day our Maker conquered death and rose again to set us free, now let us banish drowsy sloth, and rise from sleep without delay, to seek by night the loving God, as we have learned from David's psalm, that Christ may hear our humble prayers, and stretching forth his strong right hand, restore to their celestial home those cleansed from evil here below. So may he grant us his gracious gifts, to us who rise when all is still, to sing him psalms and hymns of praise at this most sacred time of day. To God the Father, glory be. To God the Father, glory be. All honor to his only Son, one with the Spirit, Paraclete, for age to age, from age to age, forevermore. Amen. Day by day I shall bless you, Lord. Alleluia. I will give you glory, O God, my King. I will bless your name forever. Psalm 145. I will bless you day after day and praise your name forever. The Lord is great, highly to be praised. His greatness cannot be measured. Age to age shall proclaim your works, shall declare your mighty deeds, shall speak of your splendor and glory, tell the tale of your wonderful works. Day by day I shall bless you, Lord. Alleluia. They will speak of your terrible deeds, recount your greatness and might. They will recall your abundant goodness. Age to age shall ring out your justice. Day by day I shall bless you, Lord. Alleluia. The Lord is kind and full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in love. How good is the Lord to all, compassionate to all his creatures. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We celebrate the victory and the great works our Lord Jesus Christ has won by his battle with death and sin. We celebrate the great works you have done for the saints in the age of the church and for the saints in the age of the Maccabees. In honor of Mary, we could often pray a Hail Mary here, but like I said, especially for an ecumenical Christian audience, I just want to begin with the office as the church has given it to us. Day by day, I shall bless you, Lord. Alleluia. We're going to begin another part of Psalm 145, and we'll have Antiphon 2. Your kingdom, Lord, is an everlasting kingdom. Alleluia. All your creatures shall thank you, O Lord, and your friends shall repeat their blessing. They shall speak of the glory of your reign and declare your might, O God. To make known to men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your reign. Yours is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule lasts from age to age. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your kingdom, Lord, is an everlasting kingdom. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is faithful in all his words and loving in all his deeds. Alleluia. We begin to pray the third part of Psalm 145. The Lord is faithful in all his words and loving in all his deeds. The Lord supports all who fall and raises all who are bowed down. The eyes of all creatures look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open wide your hand, grant the desires of all who live. The Lord is just in all his ways and loving in all his deeds. He is close to all who call him. Who call on him from their hearts. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord protects all who love him, but the wicked he will utterly destroy. Let me speak the praise of the Lord. Let all mankind bless his holy name forever, for ages unending. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, be near to all who call upon you in truth, and increase the dedication of those who revere you. Hear our prayers and save us. Help us learn to praise the wonderful works you've done for the saints of the New Testament, as well as the saints of the Old. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is faithful in all his words and loving in all his deeds. Alleluia. Listen to my words, give ear to my precepts. So we unfortunately missed many beautiful readings from the Book of Wisdom and from Clement because of All Hallows Tide, that 3 days celebrating and making present the mystery of our anonymous Christians who had passed on as saints and as holy souls. But today we get to begin another one of the beautiful 7 books that were originally written in Greek, sometimes termed deuterocanonical, because they were sometimes said to be the second position in the canon, or the second most important part of the canon of the Old Testament. But again, you're really missing something so cool if you don't have the books of the Maccabees that tell you what happened in between the prophets and the rise of Christ. So we have this reading from the beginning of the first book of the Maccabees, and Maccabees means hammer. So this is a warrior story, and we have reading from this very beginning of it. Places everything in the context of history. The victory and arrogance of the Greeks. After Alexander the Macedonian, Philip's son, who came from the land of Kittim, had defeated Darius, king of the Persians and Medes, he became king in his place. Having first ruled in Greece, he fought many campaigns, captured fortresses, and put kings to death. He advanced to the ends of the earth, gathering plunder from many nations. The earth fell silent before him, and his heart became proud and arrogant. He collected a very strong army and conquered provinces, nations, and rulers, and they became his tributaries. But after all this, he took to his bed, realizing that he was going to die. He therefore summoned his officials, the nobles who had been brought up with him from his youth, to divide his kingdom among them while he was still alive. Alexander had reigned 12 years when he died. So his officers took over his kingdom, each in his own territory, and after his death they all put on royal crowns, and so did their sons after them for many years, causing much distress over the earth. There sprang from these a sinful offshoot, Antiochus Epiphanes, son of King Antiochus, once a hostage at Rome. He became king in the year 137 of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days there appeared in Israel men who were breakers of the law, and they seduced many people, saying, "Let us go and make an alliance with the Gentiles around us, since we have separated from them. Many evils have come upon us." The proposal was agreeable. Some from among the people promptly went to the king, and he authorized them to introduce the way of living of the Gentiles. Thereupon they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to the Gentile custom. They covered over the mark of their circumcision and abandoned the holy covenant. They allied themselves with the Gentiles and sold themselves to wrongdoing. When his kingdom seemed secure, Antiochus proposed to become king of Egypt so as to rule over both kingdoms. He invaded Egypt with a strong force, with chariots and elephants and with a large fleet, to make war on Ptolemy, king of Egypt. Ptolemy was frightened at his presence and fled, leaving many casualties. Fortified cities in the land of Egypt were captured, and Antiochus plundered the land of Egypt. After Antiochus had defeated Egypt in the year 143, he returned and went up to Israel and to Jerusalem with a strong force. He insolently invaded the sanctuary and took away the golden altar, the lampstand for the light with all its fixtures, the offering table, the cups and the bowls, the golden censers, the curtain, the crowns, the gold ornament on the facade of the temple. He stripped off everything and took away the gold and silver and the precious vessels. He also took away all the hidden treasures he could find. Taking all of this, he went back to his own country after he had spoken with great arrogance and shed much blood. Responsory prayer. If for a little while our God is angry with us, to punish and discipline us, he will again be at peace with his servants. All discipline seems harsh at the time it is administered. Afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of an honest life. He will again be at peace with his servants. And to put us in the context of our own time, with our own mission, the Church gives us from the tradition of the Church a very contemporary reading from the Pastoral Constitution, Gaudium et Spes, on the Church in the modern world of the Second Vatican Council. Peace is not the mere absence of war or the simple maintenance of a balance of power between forces, nor can it be imposed at the dictate of absolute power. It is called, rightly and properly, a work of justice. It is the product of order, the order implanted in human society by its divine founder, to be realized in practice as men hunger and thirst for ever more perfect justice. The common good of the human race is subject to the eternal law as its primary principle, but its requirements and practice keep changing with the passage of time. The result is that peace is never established finally and forever. The building up of peace has to go on all the time. Again, the human will is weak and wounded by sin. The search for peace therefore demands that each individual constant control of his passions, of the passions, and from legitimate authority, untiring vigilance. Even though this is not enough, peace here on earth cannot be maintained unless the good of the human person is safeguarded, and men are willing to trust each other and share their riches of spirit and talent. If peace is to be established, it is absolutely necessary to have a firm determination to respect other persons and peoples and their dignity, and to be zealous in the practice of brotherhood. Peace is therefore the fruit also of love. Love goes beyond what justice can achieve. Peace on earth, born of love for one's neighbor, is the sign and the effect of the peace of Christ that flows from God the Father. In his own person, the incarnate Son, the Prince of Peace, reconciled all men to God through his death on the cross. In his human nature, he destroyed hatred and restored unity to all mankind in one people and one body. Raised on high by the resurrection, he sent the Spirit of love into the hearts of men. All Christians are thus urgently summoned to live the truth in love and to join all true peacemakers in prayer and work for peace. Moved by the same Spirit, we cannot but praise those who renounce violence in defense of rights and have recourse to means of defense otherwise available to the less powerful as well, provided that this can be done without injury to the rights and obligations of others of the community. Responsory prayer is from 1 Chronicles 29 and Maccabees 1. Yours, O Lord, is the grandeur and the power. You are exalted as ruler over all. Bring us peace, O Lord, in our time. O God, creator of all things, you are awesome and strong, just and merciful. Bring us peace, O Lord, in our time. God of power and mercy, only with your help can we offer you fitting service and praise. May we live the faith we profess and trust your promise of eternal life. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May we praise the Lord and give him thanks, and that ends the office proper. So this is always a beautiful season of November, leading up to the end of the liturgical year with its themes of judgment on our lives and our urgent call to be pure, to be free, to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. I dearly love the way that the Book of Maccabees and really the Israelite people are able to keep such good track of things that happened to them historically and write them down and really trace things. And many people wonder, is Maccabees really more than a history book? But it is, because it testifies to the whole practice of those people trying to live out the covenant. So it's not simply a record like Josephus's records of what happened during the time of Christ, which if you read, you would sense something very different about the spirit behind them, because he's just recording his own opinions, and of course he has religious views in there as well, because he was a Jew, but he's just being, it's just a political writing, there's nothing special behind it. With Maccabees, there actually is divine inspiration, which makes it very special, because he's going to talk about the law of the covenant, the relationship with the Creator, and 2 Maccabees even gets into those themes even more. So that's just a good thing to note, and also the history, again, of the people. How else all the rest of the books of the Bible do indeed have the people of God recording their history, but you don't have, you have a gap without Maccabees in that divine history. It's just, in my opinion, it's not that perfect without the book of Maccabees. It's an imperfection not to have the book of Maccabees, and the church agrees. So anyway, I hope you have a beautiful Sunday, a beautiful Mass, a beautiful Sunday worship. Dana's signing off.